Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for October the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby's with me. It looks like Senator Ted Cruz is out with a warning for Republicans. The Texas senator and former presidential candidate told fellow Republicans that if they don't follow through with their campaign promises, they're going to get absolutely slaughtered in 18. What do you think of this, Kurt?
If they don't follow through their promises
in 2018, they're cooked.
Well, you know, the one thing I got to say for the Republicans is, yeah, and what are they going to do? Go to the Democrats? It's like, I remember Michael Ferris from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And he's got other, you know, responsibilities as well. Him saying my party's the stupid party, you know, because he's, you know, part of the Republican Party, you know. The issue goes clear back to the same old thing we always bring up, and that is, hey, what is a Republican? What's a Democrat? In the past, my good grandpa was a Democrat. I've had lots of great, individuals in the past that you could point out and say, hey, that's a Democrat. And yet, you know, then you got the, Ted Kennedy types and Hillary Clinton types. And then look at the Republicans. You've got the McConnell types and the Ryan types and, you know, all these other, you know, sleazy ones. And then you've got the, you know, Judge Roy Moore, Ron Paul. I mean, you've got, what is one?
Well, that, you're right about the confusion, Kurt, but Ted Cruz's point is that if they don't follow through with their campaign promises to repeal Obamacare and enact tax cuts, the party could experience a bloodbath in 2018. Steve Bannon on Breitbart News announced this week that he's going to make sure that every Republican senator up for re-election, with the exception of Senator Cruz, will have a primary challenge. He promised that Republicans would have a great year in 18 if they just follow through on their campaign promises. Cruz says we have Republican control of every branch of government and we're not delivering. If you don't want to have challenges, let's do what we said we'd do. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, I mean, it's just, we see it over and over and over again. These guys, they say, man, we're going to get rid of this or we're going to do this. And nothing really gets done. And yet what I typically see is who's really their opposition. They're bought and paid for so many times. And you follow the money and you see the stories and you go, hey, man, this stinks to high heaven. It just doesn't pass the smell test. And yet, hey, we get more of the same. You know, I know Cruz can shake it up. He could. He's done it in the past. Although I'm like you, I kind of wonder where he's been lately. Who knows?
Well, what concerns me is when he says that they're going to challenge every senator but Cruz. Does that mean they're going to challenge Rand Paul and Mike Lee?
Well, the thing you have to remember is
I would put Rand and Mike, at least in terms of purity of a senator, above Cruz, Kurt.
Well, the thing you've got to remember, though, is that a third of the Senate is up each, 2 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rand Paul and Mike Lee are both not up this time.
All right, let's find that out. It's a great question.
Yeah.
I think it's a great point that Kurt makes. It is true. It's every 2 years that a third of the Senate is up. And it might be that the third of the Senate that's challenged would not include Mike Lee. And so when they say all of them, except for Cruz, then, you know, that may be quite telling. When is Mike Lee up for election, next election? Right? Mm-hmm. Mike Lee, when re-election? We got to find that out because it's a great point. Rand Paul, when re-election?
Here's the list of the ones that I see that are up for. Let's see. I put what senators are up for re-election in 2018.
I think in 16, Mike Lee won a second term in office. Is that right?
I think so, Sam, which means he'd be in for 6 years.
He's for sure not. You're correct on Lee. What about Rand?
Well, it seemed like he had to make that choice between going ahead on the presidential thing and or, you know, staying on as a senator just barely on this last deal. So I think he stayed as a senator, which means I think he's in till, you know, 2022 somewhere in there or something.
Yeah, 2016, Mike Lee was there again. So your point's well taken, Kurt. Good call.
These are the Hill did a report called the 7 Senate seats most likely to flip in 2018. Did some stuff there. So the bottom line,
who are the 7?
Let's see. I'm trying to find them. They say next year's. This was an August report this year, and they say that next year's midterm elections will provide Republicans with a major opportunity to build their majority in the Senate.
Yeah, but according to Cruz and Bannon, not if they continue on their current trajectory, Kurt. They'll be attacked by their own party.
Then it says if they can overcome President Trump's dismal approval ratings and internal party rancor. This is back in August, and the approval ratings for Trump are pretty good.
Hey, how many senators are there, Kurt?
Well, there's 100, Sam.
So how does a third?
Yeah, I know.
How does that work?
33, 33, and probably 34, I assume. Here are the 7 most vulnerable, according to The Hill. You got Senator Dean Heller from Nevada. They say he's the only Republican up for re-election in 2018 who represents a state that Hillary Clinton won last November. They say he's had a rough 2017. His public wavering, they say, during the recent health care debate will hurt Heller in a state he won with only 46% of the vote in 2012. Especially, they say, since his state accepted Obamacare's Medicaid expansion. By the end of the GOP Obamacare repeal push, they say a poll from the Democratic-leaning public policy polling found him with a 22% approval rating. Let's see. Then they tell about
the He's sure to Democrats be elected with an might. Approval rating like that, though, Kurt.
Well, I think
to some
so.
Degree, it seems like the lower the approval rating, the more they stay elected, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's because he's scratching everybody's back and giving everybody some stuff.
They just roll out the cash, don't they?
Well, it seems like it.
All right, who are the other 6?
The other ones, you got Democrat of Missouri, Claire McCaskill. Let's see, you've got Senator Joe Donnelly, Democrat of Indiana. These are the ones they say are most likely to flip. Senator Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona. You got Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia. Then they say Heidi Heitkamp, Democrat of North Dakota. And the last one, John Tester, Democrat of Montana.
Too bad they don't bring up Orrin Hatch. Isn't he an 18 guy?
Yeah, he is. But, Sam, he's...
He's so entrenched, you'll probably never get rid of him, huh?
I think I wouldn't be surprised if he died in office.
Oh, wow. We pray that he doesn't. We pray that he has a little bit of retirement with his grandchildren and family, and he, you know, sails off into the sunset, right? But I'm telling you, Senator Cruz warning, Steve Bannon and Breitbart and Donald Trump, all of them kind of in the mix to debate. What is a Republican? And I think it's a fair question Kurt brings out. Cruz said we have Republican control of every branch of government, and we're not delivering. Boy, howdy, is that right. He promised that Republicans would have a great year in 18 if they just follow through their campaign promises. Kurt, that's one thing I think that, you know what, I agree with Ted Cruz on this point big time. And I agree with Bannon on this point big time. We have got to shake it up. They can say the Tea Party's dead. Say what you want, but Americans need to get together and say, what is a Republican? It's somebody who obeys their platform and obeys the Constitution. That's what it ought to be. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Anything else on this Ted Cruz / Stephen Bannon story, Kurt, about, you know, the heart and soul of the Republican Party? They said they're going to pay dearly in 18 if they don't double down and keep some of their promises. And I hope it isn't true just because I don't believe the Republicans are doing what they ought to do, but I think the Democrats would be worse. But it's time, really, in my opinion, to have a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party to define what a Republican really is once and for all, Kurt. And I think it relates to the party platform. It relates to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. It relates to the party of the issue is honesty. If they're going to campaign on something, they need to do their very best to deliver the something they campaign on. They could literally overwhelmingly pass the shutdown of Obamacare right now. They have control. If they would, if they remained true. So I believe that we're really battling for the heart and soul of the Republican Party to define your very question, what is a Republican, Kurt? And I side with Steve Bannon and Ted Cruz on this.
Good point.
Even though I don't agree with them on a lot of things, on this point I do agree.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other tidbits on this?
It illustrates just the whole, in my opinion, stupidity of the whole party thing. We ought to eliminate it like George Washington suggested. And just not have the parties be Americans and, you know, do it that way.
Amen to that. All right. Anyway, there you have that. We thought that was worth mentioning. It's a little bit of a warning, if you will. All right. Next headline, Kurt. Quote, it's time to dump Social Security numbers, experts say. The White House is looking at ways to phase out the use of Social Security numbers. Do you want to respond to this one?
Well, hey, this is something we've been talking about for years.
But Kurt, let me stop you.
Dumb idea. Yeah.
We've been talking about getting rid of the whole bogus Ponzi scheme known as the, what's that called? Social Security system?
Social Security system, yeah.
They're not talking about getting rid of the system, Kurt. They're just talking about getting rid of the numbers.
Yeah, and so what are they going to do? They're not going to replace it with some other number? You know, that, how in the world, if you're going to continue to think that you've got to have some, you know, role for government in all these people's lives, how in the world are they going to track them?
Well, Kurt, we can give you a chip would be one idea.
Yeah, but that's going to have some kind of number.
Yeah, but it'd be updated. It'd be technologically secure, Kurt.
Yeah, right. Just like as technologically secure as all these, you know, like the, what was the credit agency that was hacked just lately? You know, the big...
You're talking about Equifax.
Like it started with, yeah. And then we give them a big government contract right after they're hacked.
Tied into the IRS, because, which should be abolished
Right. It's just, you know, you've got to go back to the Constitution and follow that thing like it says, the rules of the game. And that's the bottom line, Sam.
Amen to that. Well, anyway, they're talking about getting rid of the Social Security number. But and they're trying to find ways to digitally deal with this, Kurt. They believe it's just very insecure, and they got to, you know, up the ante on security. What they've done with credit cards to supposedly increase the security is add these chips. But the chips technology isn't a whole lot more secure anyway, Kurt. And a lot of companies still can't even accept the chips. I go to a lot of places, and they're like, oh, don't put your card in the chip reader. It doesn't work, Kurt, they say. Just use the old swipe method. So I got a chip card using the swipe method, and all it takes is one failed link in the chain to cause a problem, right, Kurt? So they're not even any closer to the honesty and security in this. I submit to you that we're going to have a tsunami of breaches for security on every front, whether it's social security numbers, insurance information, credit cards, bank accounts, whatever it is, online accounts of every kind. You're going to have a tsunami of everybody and their dogs that are going to be hacked, and there's virtually going to be no way to prevent it, Kurt. You want to know why?
Sure.
Because of the mandates of your government to have this information. I got to have a Social Security number. I got to have an IRS account. I can't even survive in society now without being involved in one of the credit bureaus, or I can't have any credit or build up anything without an account with the banks or with the credit card bureaus or with some kind of groups where I get credit lines, and otherwise I have no credit. I can't even hardly function in society today. They're forcing us to go digital, forcing us to go new technology, and forcing us into this, in my opinion, insecure zone. And the only way to stay out of it means that you can't hardly function in society, Kurt, because you can't buy anything online. You can't get a loan. Your insurance costs more because you don't have any credit. I mean, it just doesn't end. Cars and houses are so, and education is so expensive to where without some kind of credit, you can't hardly obtain any of those things. You're getting more and more and more, and I hate to say this, but it's more and more Mark of the Beast-like. And I submit to you that there'll be a tsunami of credit breaches, of account hackings, of, and most of it relates to the government. And they're keeping track of you via the IRS, via Social Security numbers, via passport numbers, etc., via driver's license numbers. They claim they don't have a national ID. But you got all kinds of de facto national, quote, designators, Kurt, whatever you want to call those. Pretend it's not an ID if you want. But all I'm telling you is you're going to see more and more and more and more and more of this, because the government's inherently unable to keep things secure and forcing us to go along at every turn. I mean, they're literally starting to put people on terrorist watch lists if you don't have a bank account, if you don't have a Social Security number, if you don't have credit, if you don't have insurance, if you don't have, you know, a lot of these different things. At some point, they're starting to say, hey, this person's trying to live under the radar. They're a threat. And the Stephen Paddock case will make more of that being the case. We didn't have much on that guy. If we would have had more on him, Kurt, we would know more. They're going to be pushing for that. So they're forcing you to either be locked out of society altogether or on their grid, which is absolutely vulnerable to all kinds of cyber breaches and attacks, Kurt. That's why. What do you think the White House will do to phase out Social Security numbers, Kurt?
Sam, you know, if I know this, for some people will sound kind of crazy, but, you know, if in my lifetime, and I'm, you know, 59 now, if sometime before I, you know, move on, we can eliminate the IRS and the Social Security system and restore honest government with honest money, hey, I'll feel like, wow, the miracles have happened. You know,
amen,
I mean,
to
the
that.
Only thing that would be cooler for me than America having good constitutional government and all that kind of stuff would be the return of the Savior. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm in on all those things. I just don't really expect them this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we had a lot of high hopes in the Donald. All right, Kurt, let me throw this headline out at you. It's worthy of discussion for sure. Puerto Rico's in the news. Donald getting attacked big time for not doing enough for the Puerto Ricans. I submit to you that our whole attitude towards the Puerto Ricans is racist and hostile and abusive. They're kind of like part of the United States, but they're not really a state, but yet they're a territory or whatever you want to call it, but yet they're a, well, not really a territory, they're a commonwealth, but they have all the benefits of American citizenship, except for not really quite, but they're American citizens, but they don't have near the representation, and it's this weird no man's land of confusionism. But now there's a headline that says erasing debt may hurt Puerto Ricans. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but Donald's been attacking Puerto Rico, saying you were in bad shape before the hurricane ever came along. And Donald's right on that fact. But they like to attack the Donald as being some kind of an enemy or something like that of the Puerto Ricans or the Puerto Rican people or whatever you want to say. But they're all playing games. But there's a headline that says erasing debt may hurt Puerto Ricans. Story's written by Nathan Bomey, Kurt. USA Today. Now, do you have any idea what this could relate to?
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of the craziest things that goes on all the time is how we think we get told this idea that debt's really good for us, you know, that it'll ruin your economy if you don't have enough debt. And
right.
It's just crazy stuff.
It's crazy, but in this case, I happen to agree with the USA author, Kurt.
All right, so tell me more about the story.
Well, let's say that you invest in Puerto Rico as a private citizen, Kurt.
Yeah.
And so they owe you a bunch of money. And now let's say they just erase it, Kurt. How are you feeling now?
That's a good point. I thought they were talking about somehow, you know, the debt to the federal government.
Oh, don't I wish.
Federal Reserve, you know, that kind of thing.
They say the list of losers could range from wealthy hedge fund owners that made risky bets on islands' debt to Puerto Ricans, to already struggling. They say Puerto Ricans own like 40% of the debt. And then they talk about these private investors through hedge funds. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Senator Ted Cruz out warning Republican colleagues. The Texas senator, former candidate for president, told fellow GOP members that if they don't follow through on campaign promises to repeal the Affordable Care Act and enact tax cuts, the party could experience a bloodbath in next year's elections. Republicans campaigned for 7 years on a platform of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. They took many symbolic votes to overturn what some people didn't like. Federal regulators approved two natural gas pipelines on the East Coast last week. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved the Mountain Valley and the Atlantic Coast pipelines. The Mountain Valley pipeline could cost $3.5 billion. It's 300 miles long. It's been met with severe local objection. Over the past years, surveying companies have trespassed on private property. They've been taken to court many times. Some in Virginia have put up signs showing where the pipeline will go, right through the middle of towns and sensitive lands and private property, often without people's permission. This is one issue that is not going to go away anytime soon. This is LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
What taught you to skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of...
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball, unheeded, sped.
That ain't my style,
said Casey.
Right what?
The umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more, the spheroid flew.
I think I'll just ignore it.
And the umpire said,
right two.
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
follow through!
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so we're talking about this interesting story in USA Today. Erasing debt may hurt Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans own about 40% of the island's debt. Hedge funds own about 20% of the debt. Mainland American retirees, mutual fund investors, individuals who snapped up Puerto Ricans' bonds, listen carefully, to take advantage of Puerto Rico's tax-exempt status. Bottom line is the hodgepodge nature of the U.S. territory's borrowing illustrates the complexities of the ongoing attempts to disentangle the island from its $74-plus billion debts, Kurt. And so the problem that we have here is we're talking about government forcing the forgiveness of private money by erasing the debt. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, you know, we've long talked about this whole problem, and that is simply, you know, the debt money system that we have really in, you know, in America, and then it's pervasive throughout the world with these central banks, these well, gangster money kind of swamp monster guys that are, you know, that run these things. And you gotta look at this as part of the picture. Too many times it's like, you know, not addressing the issue of the Ten Commandments not being around. They're underlying issues that, man, you've got to look at. And when you start saying, hey, your debts will just be wiped away, somebody has got to pay there, Sam.
Yeah, so whether it's the taxpayers forced through government, whether it's all these different investors in different avenues, whatever you want to say, mutual funds or private investments or corporate investments or whatever you want to say for tax savings, at every turn, the government's at the center of every one of those, in my opinion, moral hazards, Kurt. And so all I'm telling you is it's impossible to discuss this if we're not going to tie it to the fiat money of the Federal Reserve violating the supreme law of the land. If we're not going to tie it to that discussion about Federal Reserve, what do they call it, malfeasance or Federal Reserve moral hazard or whatever. If you're not going to tie it to the real core of the problem, you're just discussing the symptoms, Kurt. Now, this is Solutions Radio. Do we have a way out of it, Kurt?
Well, we do, Sam, and, you know, all we've got to do is look at history You know, and when we see something in history that worked, you know, like let's say you're making a recipe in the kitchen, and you know, you're making oatmeal pancakes, and hey, they always were really good with a certain recipe, and somehow somebody messed around and messed up the recipe, and the things don't turn out right anymore. The solution isn't try to find a new recipe. The solution is try to find the old recipe that worked and, you know, follow it. Right, Sam?
Well, there you go. I think one of the easy ways to discuss this is to do what Rand and Ron Paul have been proposing, which is to audit and eventually end the Federal Reserve, but to put together a stepping stone response out of this, which should first be open up good money to the discussion, like gold and silver. And slowly but surely, people will let good money drive out bad money, Kurt. And that competition, that opening up is the starting point towards restoration. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I actually promote this kind of idea on a regular basis. I give people a choice if they, you know, if they want to, when they're buying honey, they can literally get, you know, United States notes. They can get silver certificates. They can get silver dollars. They can get silver half dollars, quarters, dimes. And so, in my opinion, by doing this, at least by putting these into circulation, not just me, but there's plenty of other, they call them gold dealers, silver dealers, you know, people that can offer you those real money ideas. When more and more of that's in our society, excuse me, I believe it makes it harder for the bad money guys to, make it worse. It's just competition.
Well, all I can tell you is it's very, very interesting. There is a way out of this, though, Kurt, and it starts with the supreme law of the land. It starts with returning to the principles that made America great. And if you're not going to have honesty on money, then where do we end and start? But again, whether it's people invested in Puerto Rico for tax savings, whether people invested in mutual funds, whether it's the private sector, whether it's the government sector, the only way out of this is to slowly but surely let good money chase out bad money. Otherwise, somebody is going to take a bath on this thing. The problem is who, how, what? And that's the problem, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point. And, you know, at least to me, you've got two things. The Constitution outlines very clearly. It says, hey, Article 1, Section 10, no state shall, and then it says, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And it was very well illustrated. You can look in history and find these. You know, I've got them actually for sale. What's called a silver certificate. And that was basically, if you didn't want to carry the silver dollars around that were kind of heavy, then you could literally trade them for what was called a silver certificate. And this was printed and only done so that the Treasury, hey, they only had the right amount of silver certificates as they had silver. And if you wanted, you could trade them back and forth. They were basically, they were paper money that was backed by silver or gold. And then you have the gold certificates. And I've got, you know, we've got both of those available, Sam. And then we do have the if you're one of those ones who falls for the lie, in my opinion, that we don't have enough silver or gold, and so we couldn't go back to that, then at least we could go to... Yes, sir?
We don't have enough money to cover that in current dollars. We do have enough money to cover that when it comes to the economy.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that, but I think it would be.
Well, what I mean by that is when you have fake money with inflation behind it, right? You get this situation where it's ballooned way beyond reality. And so, but we have enough money for the economy. Let me give you an example. Just use my house for an example. My house has a value, right? I don't know what you want to call that value, but let's just say that it has a value. It represents the work that it takes, the materials that it takes to replace it, whatever that value is. And if you have honest money, gold and silver coinage without inflation, then that value translated into the equivalent value of gold and silver, honest money. You're trading asset value for asset value all along the way. Work, materials, value of home to value of honest asset-based currency. But when you put fake money into the mix, Kurt, and you inflate the heck out of that money behind the scenes, that fake representation of value, blue sky is what I would call it, is the problem. So we probably don't have enough money to replace the blue sky in gold and silver. But we do have enough money to replace the economic truth, the reality, Kurt. Does that make any sense?
Well, it's a great point. You've got the Dow Jones now hitting 23,000.
Submit to you that if it was tied to real money, it wouldn't even be close to there.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you basically look at my lifetime, the year before I was born were the last printings of the silver certificates. That is, in other words, the last dollars that the federal government had put out that said, hey, you can trade this for a silver dollar. So if you literally take that time and you look at my lifetime, and now if you wanted to use our Federal Reserve notes, which is our dollar bill at this time, if you want to use those to buy a silver dollar, you've got to have about 20 of them. So, you know, you literally look at our dollar today and say it's worth about a nickel compared to the dollar of when I was born. And if you do that the same way with the Dow Jones or whatever else, you know, you just say you basically have 20 times the cost of things. So in other words, if you make 20 times what you did in 1957, then maybe you're keeping about equal. But the key reason to have an honest money system, the kind outlined in the Constitution and that they had for many, many years, is that then you have an honest system of weights and measures of currency and of coinage that you can really trust, not just some kind of throw it together as it goes system.
All right, I got a breaking story for you coming up in just seconds right after the pause. Hang tight. Details in seconds. You are listening to Sam and Kurt. If you had a little blip in the audio, the internet went down for a second. Thank heavens it's back. News the networks refuse to use. Straight ahead. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting tidbit. There's two sides in the battle. Side one, they're offering a $10 million reward to impeach President Donald Trump. A Democrat put it in a Washington Post ad today, Kurt. That's side one in the battle. What do you think of that? Didn't I tell you liberals put their money where their mouth is? $10 million bucks to try to find a way to impeach
Donald.
There's
a price on his head.
Yes, sir.
There's a price on his head.
They got plenty of money. We couldn't save $5 to defend the Donald if we tried, Kurt, so we're out of the mix. But they got groups now creating what's called the impeachment defense team, Kurt. Quote, join the impeachment defense team today. You going to join, Kurt?
How much does it cost to join the impeachment defense team?
You can sign a petition for free, but then they want your donations, my friend.
I kind of want to... impeachment of, you know, every government official that's, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I guess I'm kind of on the impeach them, you know, clean out the swamp, you know. But it sure is a mess, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Do you think McConnell's going to resign? So they're wanting to impeach the Donald. They're trying to push the Donald to resign. They're putting $10 million up to find ways to impeach the Donald. You got the Donald defense team. Now you got, do you think they'll be forcing McConnell to resign?
You know, I sure don't see him having too much trouble, at least with the insiders or the Kingmen, because he's such a lackey for them, at least in my opinion. But, you know, I mean, he is maybe the oldest least, I guess you could say, flamboyant, least popular. He may just decide to, I mean, apparently he's not up for re-election, or else, you know, he'd have, I think, a lot of competition there.
Ain't that a sad tale to tell? I wish he was up for re-election. Anyway, very interesting. But again, all I'm telling you, Kurt, is the liberals put their money where their mouth is. One guy put up $10 million to get rid of the Donald. Just imagine if somebody put up $10 million to help us in the media. Just think what we could accomplish. We literally on the Widow's Mite Radio Network have accomplished plenty thus far. We've been running this network and the radio station we first bought to learn the ropes, and we've been doing what we've been doing for almost 25 years now, Kurt. And it costs less than one mid-level American salary to run everything we do, not counting our labor and such. It's nothing in one way. In another way, it's a lot of money. It's $1.5 million to run it to date, Kurt. Did you know that?
Nope, but it's not surprising. And that's, like you say, without the labor, right?
Yeah, we put in over $1 million to run things ourselves, Kurt. When I say ourselves, a few advertisers have helped, a few donors and a few listeners have helped, but for the most part, it's been you and me and the money that we can raise and the hard work that we put in and the money that we put in personally and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not only dollars in terms of real dollars, but time. It's more than $1 million. In fact, hard dollars, not counting the time. We put millions into this, Kurt, but it's still the Widow's Mite Network. Just imagine running it for just over $1 million in cash for 25 years. We owned and bought an AM radio station. Probably about $1.5 million when you include everything, not counting the labor. We bought a radio station in the beginning to start off our foray into the media, if you will, $120,000. We then ran that thing for 10 years. We sold it. We built this radio talk show.
You're not even including all the money that we spent buying time with a radio station before that.
Well, that's all correct.
So, yeah, there's even more of that too, right?
Yeah, it's hard to debate what the real costs are. All I'm describing, though, is it's well over $1 million any way you look at it. If you want to add the things Kurt's talking about, it's probably closer to $2 million. You're talking about Sam and Kurt and just a few little old friends on the Widow's Mite Radio Network, but just think of the impact we've had. Literally been to the Republican National Convention, broadcasting right in the center of it all. CNN literally bringing us water as we sit in their booth. right on through to interviewing both of Donald Trump's sons and more than 20 Donald Trump surrogates along the way. Were we significantly responsible for Donald Trump being elected? Right on through, Kurt, covering 9/11 live when it happened. I mean, I'm just telling you, some of the best breakdown of the Bundy Ranch situation and the takeover in Oregon. Some of the most incredible reporting done on the Vegas shooting and more. All I'm telling you is we've had a role to play in so many things. It's startling when you really figure it all out. It's amazing what we've accomplished. On very little money, but $10 million, more than 10 times, or at least 5 times the amount offered by one person to get rid of the Donald. I wonder if Hillary and other celebrities are going to match that amount, Kurt. Wow.
That's a good question.
Join the impeachment defense team today. $10 million reward to impeach the Donald. Will McConnell be forced to resign? I pray so. All right, invasion, you're up, Kurt. You got an update on this?
Well, yeah. I guess over the weekend, in Vienna, they had a vote, basically. And they're kind of tired of this whole, world citizen kind of idea there. And, the headline reads, Austrian winter tough on migrants. Sebastian Kurz has near rock star status for putting own citizens first. Anyway, he won with 31.5% of the vote. He says, many people have placed great hopes in our movement. They call him the fresh-faced wonder boy, as he told a sea of supporters in Vienna. This info, yeah, Austria, and they're kind of wanting their country back.
Wow, he's tough on immigrants, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Well, it's kind of, the same thing we saw with the Brexit thing, the same thing we saw in America, or we're seeing in America with the Donald Trump thing. People are just kind of tired. They're upset about the whole world citizen idea. They want their countries back. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, what's this guy's name? Sebastian Kurz?
Yeah, K-U-R-Z, I guess they call him.
I guess Sebastian, he has a rock star status for putting on citizens first.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. Your president being, up and looking out for your good. Wow.
And the sad part about this whole discussion is I agree that citizens ought to be protected and we just can't have out-of-control immigration. But I also feel sorry for the immigrants. A lot of times people are trying to seek a better life, and there's a balance there that's worthy of being had. But anyway, again, they mocked Donald Trump for it. Now we find it's true in Austria too, right, Kurt?
That's exactly right. And right. We saw it with the Brexit thing as well. And, the insiders, the kingmen, are basically trying to say, oh, it can't happen now, just like they're doing with the Paris Accord thing. Oh, no, you guys can't do this. I mean, there's paperwork here to be done, and times to wait, and all this stuff. But that's what we see with the Freedom of Information Act requests, all the different stuff. The swamp monsters are alive and well all over the place. And
I hear that. They're
everywhere. A lot of swamp monster hunting going on.
I sure hope we can get rid of the swamp monsters, but it's going to be a road to hoe, that's for sure. Ken, Utah, you're on the radio.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to call in and applaud you guys for what it is that you do. You give me great hope when I'm able to listen to you many a morning and check in and get the news that's important that you're not going to hear anyplace else. This effort that you're so heavily involved in is, as your ads say, is not inexpensive. And so, I've been honored to be able to donate on occasion. I would encourage all listeners out there to chip in as they can and help the cause. It's amazing. We're not going to win every battle, but that's not the point. It's how we get involved and what we do to help that is what matters and counts in the eyes of God, I think. So
I completely agree. And the reason we bring it up is really to let people know that it is the listener. It is the people who have taken their responsibility for freedom seriously. It is those who have been along with us. Out of that $1 million-plus, I've put in a ton of work. I've probably put in, 25, 30 hours a week for the last 25 years. I don't know what that's worth alone, but that's not been any of the money we're talking about. It's been well over $1 million in hard costs, Ken.
I've been amazed at your guests and going to D.C., going to the national convention, et cetera. You guys rock. I am proud to know you and to be a listener of your show, and I just want to applaud you. Keep up the good work.
But when you say you guys rock, though,
as soon as I can, and I hope others do the same thing.
I agree. When you say you guys rock, though, I want to basically stand back and say we rock, though. It's not just Sam and Kurt. It's not the other talk show hosts on the radio network. It's all of us working together that has made this happen.
Yeah, no, that makes great sense. Yeah.
And I'm not about to take credit for it. I'm just one of the guys that has a little bit of experience and maybe a little bit of talent to lend to the cause to build the radio network in the first place or to do whatever I do, you know.
Yeah.
But we all have our part to play.
If everybody does their part, then we all qualify ourselves in the eyes of God and protect, and I believe, bring down heavenly protection upon our homes and friends and family. So
and let's be clear, one part is not more important than the other. Just because I get, and I'm going to use a sports phrase to make this, just because I kind of have quarterback status a little bit, or chief commentator status, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't mean I'm any more important than people who don't get credit or aren't recognized behind the scenes. That's not the truth.
Yeah, no, that's a great comment. That's fair. But, hey, I'm glad to be a listener, and I imagine that your listeners feel the same way. We are all on the same team, and God bless us that we can keep moving forward and fighting the cause of freedom.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. Good work. Hey, Kurt, final word's yours, my friend.
Ken's a great example of how to go about it and fix America. And, ladies and gentlemen, like Ken said, he's participated, and he, I think, challenges everybody else to do the same, you know, whether you're a widow and all you got is a mite or you've got more, participate like Sam has done for years, and we can make America a better place.
Amen to that. I'm going to just, maybe we ought to just rename the network to the Widow's Mite Radio, Kurt.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
All I'm telling you is we're doing the best we can, and we're grateful for your support and help. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.